Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Kings. Back in 2 Kings, chapter 2. Had the privilege of being out with Dr. Harrison in the Maranatha Baptist University Chorale Choir yesterday. What a great opportunity. If you love to sing and you're not in a choir, may I challenge you to consider auditioning and joining a choir. Great opportunity. Exciting to see the Lord work. 2 Kings chapter 2, I don't know if you know that, but this today is National Lookalike Day. Thank you for stealing my thunder. So I hope you're dressing up and acting like the person that you look up to. That's what this is supposed to do. This is really heavy, you know. That's hard to do, but so hopefully, did you know that? It's not an official holiday, but that's good. 2 Kings chapter 2. The title of the message this morning is Trusting the Plan of God. Trusting the plan of God. Now, let me just briefly define what I mean by the plan of God. That could be a very big, huge, nebulous thing. When I'm talking about the plan of God, I'm saying that which is clearly laid out by God in His Word and through the leading of His Holy Spirit. Okay? Trusting the plan of God. We're going to look at the translation of Elijah, and more specifically, Elisha. Now, let me remind us of the background of Elijah. He was God's man. Remember way back some years before this? He said it would not rain, and it did not rain for how long? Wow, it's Monday morning, you could tell. It did not rain for how long? 3.5 years. Remember that? And finally, Ahab found him. They met on Mount Carmel, the 400 prophets of Baal. You remember? And they had the sacrifices on the altars there. And Elijah said, whoever's God calls down fire from heaven, he is God. And so the prophets of Baal tried to do that, and a couple hours of chanting and cunting themselves and all that kind of stuff. And finally, Elijah dug a trench around, they poured water on it, and he simply prayed, and God torched the place. It was amazing. This huge fire consumed not only the water, the sacrifice, but the stones. I mean, it was all gone. And the people knew this is God, Jehovah. And Elijah is the man of God. He had ultimate power at that point. He was able to go and just wipe out the 400 prophets of Baal. Everyone knew that he was God's man. Now, Elijah went through some tough times after that. There was a point when Jezebel was chasing him, and he actually was suicidal at that point. But God did not upbraid him. God gave him rest. God gave him food. And God gave him help. So right after that, we find Elijah going and asking Elisha to help him. We'll look at that in just a moment. And then for the next, Usher's chronology says, about 10 years, Elijah was in charge before this point. And Elijah did some more amazing things. In fact, there was a king by the name of Ahaziah who sent 50 of his soldiers to go and get Elijah. He didn't like what Elijah had said. And so the captain and the soldiers went and found him, and he was up on a hill. And they said, Elijah, get down here. The king wants to see you. He basically said, no, I'm not going to go. The king says, let's go. And so Elijah says, God, if I'm your man, torch these guys. And they were gone. They were torched from heaven, fire. And so Ahaziah hears about it and sends another 50 guys. And so they go. King says, come here. They're gone. 102 guys so far. The king sends a third group. But this captain was a little sharper upstairs. Then he came and he got on his knees and he said, oh, Elijah, great, awesome man, you. King suggests that you come with us. And he did. And he came. Elijah is known as the fire guy probably by now, this fire from heaven stuff. Did a number of amazing things. And at this point in 2 Kings chapter 2, we find that Elijah is going to go to heaven. And at this point, let's read 2 Kings chapter 2, starting with verse 7. Excuse me. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. That's Elijah and Elisha. Verse 8, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken up from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of, get it, fire, and horses of fire, and parted them asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you would prepare our hearts to again look at what your plan is for our lives and then trust you. And Lord, for those barriers that inhibit that, God, I pray that we would see the futility of them this morning. Lay them aside and trust you wholeheartedly. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Briefly, in the minutes that we have left, I'd like to examine three clear responses to the plan of God in these verses, and then ask ourselves, how are we responding to God's clear plan in our lives? First of all, I see here direct trust. I believe this is exemplified by Elisha. He trusted and obeyed the plan of God every step of the way. He had developed a walk of faith. And I'm not saying that he had arrived, but he was very much advanced in his journey of faith. And this did not just all happen right in this passage here. I believe you can look back. In fact, have you ever put yourself in heroes of the faith spots and thought, oh, there's no way I could do that? I mean, like David, Goliath issues the challenge and you go, I'll do it. I think to myself, there's no way I could do that. But we have to realize that large steps of faith do not happen just like that. They're built. They're walks of faith. So when David was out on the hillside and he was taking care of his sheep, he learned that he could trust God. In the thing, where should I take the sheep? And God would tell him where to go and prompt him to go and take care of a lion? Okay. And he could take care of a lion and a bear. And he learned he could trust God. So that when it came time for Goliath, he was ready. It was the next step of faith. I believe that's what happened with Elisha. I believe he had a walk of faith, and I'll show that to us a little bit. Maybe it was several years before he heard about Elijah and about Jehovah, and he trusted him and learned all he could about him. Maybe he went to Mount Carmel and saw the power of God and said, that is some great power. That is the plan of God. That's the power of God right there. And Elijah is his man. Then we see that step by step, Elisha was building his faith. And so, when there came a point, if you turn back with me a few pages to 1 Kings chapter 19, we find that when Elijah comes to Elisha, Elisha is ready to directly trust God. He takes the next step of faith, even though it is a big one. In verse 19 of 1 Kings 19, the Bible says, so he, that's Elijah, departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. 12 yoke of oxen, I'm not much of a farmer, so I had to Google what's a yoke of oxen and how much does it cost. You know that a yoke of oxen, it's two in a pair there. You know a yoke of oxen costs about today around $3,000? Now, and how many were there? There were 12 of them. Those, there's 36 grand wrapped up in farm implementation here, not to mention the plowing equipment and all these guys that Elisha is managing to plow his father's field. In other words, this was a pretty good business. Most likely, Elisha was in line to take over the family business. It was a good, lucrative career awaiting him. And then we find an Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. So Elijah walks by and says, I want you to help me. Now, wait a minute. He's got a great job. He's got security and comfort for the rest of his life here. And Elijah walks by and says, follow me. But remember, Elisha was building his faith. And when it came to this point, look at verse 20. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. He was ready to leave that lucrative business and go into the incredibly lucrative business of being a pastor, right? not necessarily. In fact, if you look at the ministry of Elisha, you will find that he placed a very small value on money. He told people to keep their money. He wasn't in it for the money. And he was willing to live the life of a pauper because he knew that that was God's plan. Are you at that spot in your life? Let me just give you a testimony. I toured for four summers, several years ago. And if you haven't toured, let me just tell you, you get to stay in some really nice houses. I mean, jacuzzis and four-wheelers and tennis courts. And I mean, one night we were put up in the penthouse apartment of the Kellogg Street Apartments in downtown St. Paul, looking over the Mississippi River, tennis courts, full fridge, swimming pool. Oh, it was awesome. And I found myself, in fact, I remember specifically standing in a church lobby in Las Vegas, Nevada, watching the cars come in for the evening, seeing a Lincoln Continental. Ooh, I wonder if I'm staying with them tonight. Seeing a Pinto with all these kids pile out. Oh, I wonder if I'm staying with them tonight. And I found myself getting very materialistic. Now, I was preparing in church ministries, music. I wanted to be a music pastor, youth pastor. And I knew they don't make much money. And then I looked at all this cool stuff and all this really nice way of living. And my junior year, I came back to campus thinking, what am I doing? And I love my youth pastor, but he never had any money. He didn't drive very good cars, couldn't go out to eat just any time he wanted to. And I thought, I don't want to live like that. I want to have money. I want to have a jacuzzi and all this cool stuff. And during that opening week of meetings, the evangelist preached over and over, and God was convicting my heart. Which one is it going to be? Are you going to live for this stuff, or are you going to live for me? And God convicted my heart, and by God's grace, Thursday night, I finally realized, you know what? This money and stuff is not what life is all about. It's following God and trusting God's plan. I surrendered to him. That's a daily surrender, but you know what? I had a peace at that point. You know what? I'm going to follow God's plan. And I don't think I've lived like a pauper. I get to fly airplanes. I've owned 3 golf carts. I mean, I think I live pretty good. But you know what? That's not what it's all about. Living for God, trusting the plan of God. Maybe you're here this morning. You're struggling with that. Well, I could do this, and I could do this. God, what do you want me to do? May I challenge you, when God reveals his will to you, direct trust, right away, immediate. Let's take a look at it. Why was this able to happen? Because he had developed a walk of faith. He came to the river, right? Elisha, now Elijah is gone to heaven. He comes back to the River Jordan, and the prophets are over there. Those are his fellow prophets there. And he takes this mantle. Now, what happens if he takes this thing and goes, oh, and nothing happens? His career is severely hindered at that point, right? So it took some pretty solid faith to say, okay, here it goes. I know Elijah's been talking to me about this, but here it goes. And he took the leap of faith, slapped it down, the waters parted, and he walked across. How could he have that kind of faith? He developed that walk of faith. We fail, but we get back up again, and we walk by faith. Let me challenge us to have a direct trust when God's will God's plan is revealed. Secondly, this morning, I want to take a look at delayed trust. Delayed trust. We see this in the prophets. Now you say, wait a minute, we just read that the prophets saw what Elisha did and they went, oh, God's Elijah's spirit is on Elisha. Well, read the next several verses with me. Back in 2 Kings chapter 2, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 16. And they said unto him, this is the prophets, behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, ye shall not send. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, send. They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, did I not say unto thee, go not? What's going on here? Elisha comes back, he crosses the river, and the prophets go, wow, that was cool, Elisha. Now, where's Elijah? Well, you're not going to believe this. We're walking along, and there's this chariot of fire, all things. Oh, fire, yeah. And horses of fire. Oh, horses of fire. And a whirlwind, and whoosh, he was gone. And they all went, woohoo. Okay, I get the fire thing, Elisha, but really, where's Elijah? They didn't believe him. You say, how do you know that? Because they said, well, I'll tell you what, we're just going to send some guys out in the mountains in case God dropped him out there, okay? We're just going to go look for Elijah. And Elisha said, no, I told you, he's gone, he's in heaven. They said, okay, whatever, but we're going to go look for him. And finally, they did it. You see, they didn't believe it right away. This delayed trust we find here, whether disbelief or partial belief, they didn't believe Elisha. And the plan of God was crystal clear. This is now God's man. And they had a hard time with it. It wasn't till a number of other miracles that they finally totally believed. And you know that he made the bitter water sweet and the waters by the way of Edom and the widow's oil and the raising of the Shunammite's son. Eventually they said, yeah, okay, for sure, this is now God's man. But in the meantime, from when they didn't believe to when they finally believed, they had all this time of turmoil as to what is going on. And I believe that we sentence ourselves to insecurity and doubt when we don't wholly trust the plan of God immediately. You know, the Bible says, Philippians 4:6, be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, when we don't quite understand it, we say, okay, God, I don't understand this, but this is your plan, so I'm going to trust you. And God gives us a peace, even when we don't understand it. You know, there are things in the Bible that don't necessarily make natural sense to me. The Bible says, when you give, you receive. It is better to give than to receive. Now, I have a hard time with that. If I got a buck and I give it to Troy, he's got the buck and I don't. I have less, he has more. How can this be right? You know what? It's right, but I don't understand it. It works. It's God's plan, but I have a hard time with that. The Bible says, in order to go up, you must go down. He that exalteth himself will be abased, and he that humbleth himself will be exalted. I don't get that. I mean, you're with a bunch of new people. You got to let them know how awesome you are, right? You got to say, well, yeah, I've done this and this, and I'm good at that. And you know, that's not what God says. God says, humble yourself, and in due time, he will exalt you. You see, there's things that we know the Bible says it, but we have a hard time with that. May I challenge us? When we see it in God's word, believe it and trust it, even when you don't understand it. Because if you don't, any of that time in the middle until you finally do get it is hard. Doubt, fear, turmoil when we don't trust God's plan immediately. So there's direct trust. Elisha, right away, walking by faith, taking that step of faith, trusting God's plan. delayed trusts, those prophets that didn't buy it right off the bat, but eventually they bought in. I want to look at a third group this morning, and that is derogatory trust. Derogatory trust. We find this in verses 23 through 25. The Bible says, "And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tare 42 children of them." Now, we use this passage, don't we, Mr. Hockman, to say don't make fun of bald people, right? Yeah, it's right there. God judges people that make fun of bald people, right? Well, we'll leave that aside. I believe, here's what's happening. The word of Elisha's story had spread all throughout Israel. And families are sitting around the table saying, hey, did you hear what Elisha said happened to Elijah? I mean, come on. A chariot of fire, horses of fire, whirlwind. Yeah, can you believe the nerve of that guy? I wonder what he did with him. I wonder where he really is, right? And the kids hear that. And the kids leave and they go out and they see Elisha. And they say, there's the guy who's with the big story. What do they say? Go up, thou bald head. Hey, why don't you catch a chariot too, baldy, and kind of go do the same thing? They're making fun of him. You know what? When God's plan is made clear, we better be very careful about making fun or being derogatory against the plan of God. Simply put, these families did not believe and trust the plan of God, and they paid dearly for it. Now you say, why are you mentioning this here at Maranatha Baptist University? We're all in faith school too. Why are you telling this to us? Because I realize that there may be some here that don't buy into God's plan. I sat here 25 years ago, and I have a few friends who were here for one reason or another, but they didn't buy it. They were constantly deriding what was going on here. And to be honest, I don't think some of them are saved. And today I see some of their posts on Facebook and things, and I still realize they don't buy into the plan of God. They've never either accepted Christ or they're really backslidden. And maybe you're here today and you're not sure about this. Maybe you know you're not saved. And you're here and you're kind of going with the rules, but you're having a hard time with it. You're trying to do this thing because somebody has told you to do it. May I challenge you, stop, repent of your sin, and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. No matter if you're in a Bible college or not, you need to trust Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're here and you're saved, but you think this is crazy. May I challenge you to confess your sin before the Lord and say, you know what? I am going to wholly accept the plan of God. So what's the application for us? If you're here today and you find yourself deriding God's plan, you're in dangerous territory. Trust Christ if you need to be saved. If you're saved, confess your sin before him and say, God, I need to trust your plan. Perhaps you're here today and you find yourself in that nebula of doubt. Yeah, God's plan is pretty clear, but you're having a hard time with it. And as a result, you're having this insecurity and this fear and this doubt. May I challenge you, wholly trust the plan of God. We need to be shooting for that direct trust that we see in Elisha's life. The plan of God can be trusted. And as I close, may I say this, God's plan is good. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil." Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Trust the plan of God. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word that gives us the rock solid confidence of what you say to us. Lord, Help us to believe you in the easy things and in the hard things. May we trust your plan. Lord, if there's anyone here today that is in that doubt time and they haven't trusted your plan, God, I pray you give them the grace to wholly accept that. See what they're missing out on, the peace that they're missing out on when they don't. And Lord, I pray if there's any here today that has not accepted you as their Savior, Lord, may they see their sin, repent, and trust you today as their Savior. Lord, thank you for this time today. I pray that you'd bless us as we go forward, knowing that we can trust your plan. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.